Jones and Mike, real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey playing, city living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade. Sound familiar? It's, you know, shit dudes say about family, women, philosophy, politics, history, people, money, pop culture, kids, fighting, business, life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, Jones questions whether there's a God after the tragedy in Orlando.
Not that tragedy,
the other one.
Then we take a look at nuts who smell their nuts.
This is Jones and Mike.
Jones, it's been a contentious year in these United States, but finally, I believe we're on solid ground, united in a mission to build walls and evict foreign invaders that are frankly predators. They need to be stopped, and they need to be taken forcibly, rounded up, and taken from America en masse before they do any more damage. And I never thought I'd see the day when Americans would agree on that.
Well, what walls would you be talking about? I mean, I know that controversially we have, there's a wall in the southern part of our country which is being debated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Could that be the wall that you're referring to?
I am referring to Americans uniting to evict, round up and evict alligators. Naturally, the predators that must be stopped. The story of that two-year-old being plucked from the beach at the Grand Floridian, literally like 1,000 linear feet from the steps of Disney World.
It's just too much for a parent to take.
Yeah, yeah, really, like, this really a sad story. And of the two stories this week, the one that I really was, like, really sad about.
Well, compared to what? The other story being the Pulse nightclub?
Well, right. So, like, of the two stories, I was sitting there going, like, oh, wow, one, for whatever reason, almost doesn't get my pulse quickened at all. And then the other one, I'm so sad about. Why the disparity?
Well, I'll admit I had a disparity somewhat like what you're discussing when I saw the two news stories, obviously both tragedies. But when I first heard the story of the alligator, what hit me, I could only imagine that people like yourself, parents, you see that story or hear about that story and you just picture yourself in Disneyland, the happiest place of all. And to just have like this unthinkable, grotesque tragedy happen before you has got to be stomach churning. For me, even though I don't have kids and can't relate to it on that level, just hearing the story, my first thought was, immediately was, there's no God. There's no God.
There's no
because
God.
You could look at what happened at the Pulse nightclub, and it's a complete tragedy. I am not downplaying it, but I can at least compartmentalize that in my brain, process that and compartmentalize it into my brain and go, that's humanoids out of control. Yeah. Whether it's because we build devices that can kill each other or use those devices to kill each other, or we have religious beliefs that believe other people need to be eliminated, or we have these sexual feelings that we can't deal with ourselves. There's some level of humanoids gone awry in what happened at the Pulse nightclub.
That helped you process that.
Yeah, because then I can say, well, if there is a God...
Wow,
that's one of those things. No,
in your brain, there really is an if.
But there really is one of those things where you could say, yeah, that's humanoids. We're being given this opportunity to live here, and we keep screwing it up or running amok.
Oh, that's interesting. Living on Earth is an opportunity. I don't think I've ever heard anyone characterize it as such.
Yes,
that's awesome. That really is mind-blowing what you just said.
So, and with that mind, what happens at the Pulse nightclub or a nightclub in Bali or a subway, London tube?
Yeah.
You know, that's humanoids gone awry.
Yeah.
When I first heard this story in Orlando of the alligator coming up and taking this two-year-old and killing it, like, right in front of the parents, I immediately went, like, how could you ever think, like, how could you ever go to that parent? There's always this term that a lot of religious people use, like, that's okay, God's in control. Just say your prayers, God's in control. How could you look at someone?
He's my co-pilot.
Yes. How could you look at someone who was vacationing in Disneyland and saw their child devoured?
World.
What was it? World. Okay.
Devotion to Accuracy never, Department. Jones and Mike Quality Assurance.
I always screw that up. So Disney World. How could you be at Disney World, one of the happiest places on earth, and you see an alligator devour your child right in front of you and go, that's okay. That's okay.
I got to be honest. You're talking like a dude who's clearly never been to Disney World. By calling it the happiest place on earth.
Well, I was there as a child. I've never been there. I haven't been there since 1986.
Oh, man. The happiest place on earth.
I haven't been there in 30 years. But that is
there were times when I was praying for an alligator to come up and just finish me off.
Well, they are at least there to finish off your child.
Well, that's a thing. Like, I have vivid memories of being at... You've been there, like, in the 80s?
86.
Okay, so I'm assuming, like, those resorts are pretty much unchanged since the 80s. You got Disney World, and then, like, a few clicks to the, you know, to the right. I don't even know which way on the compass they are, but let's just say you're looking at Disney World. A few clicks to the right, you've got the Contemporary, and they're all around this lagoon. A few clicks more, you're over on the Polynesian, where I have stayed twice. And then a few clicks more, and you're at the Grand Floridian, which I visited, and then you're back at Disney World. And so they're all around this lagoon, and at night they have these fireworks shows and stuff. And so being on the property is nice to be, because there's a tram. You don't have to, like, get on buses and all this other stuff that, like, you know, the little people have to do.
Yes. So I never got that opportunity, but yeah. I know other family members were on that train line, and it sounded glorious. We were the bus people.
All right. And then the last stop on that. So if you are one of the people off property, you go to this thing called the Transportation Center, and you go up into it. You have to wait, like, you know, like it's the friggin' CTA. And then you get on the tram, and you have to stop at the Polynesian. And then the next stop is the Grand Floridian, and you're looking, and it looks so freaking nice. And you are kind of jealous of the people that have the dough to stay at the Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
You are. It's really, really nice there. Small rooms, I've heard, but kind of European like that. So this family shelled out some dough. They're from Nebraska. They're doing the same thing that I did with my kids, walking along the beach. There are signs that say no swimming. You see those, so no one swims in that lagoon.
And why do they have that? Did you ever ask the question, or do you know why they say no swimming?
Well, you know, I did, when I stayed at the Polynesian years ago, the first time I was there, I did talk to a maintenance guy who was fixing something in our room. There were a few things wrong on that trip, and so we got to know the maintenance people pretty well at that joint. And in the course of talking to him, I'm like, hey, tell me about alligators. There's got to be a million alligators around here. Tell me about them. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're on the property all the time, but, you know,
really?
We see them, we relocate them humanely, you know, but, yeah, it's pretty much a full-time job to keep the alligators out. And so you see the no swimming signs, you talk to someone like that, you can put two and three together. But there are no signs saying, hey, don't swim because there's an alligator in there.
Right.
So I think that that's going to be a problem, a little bit of a problem for them.
Yeah, well, it's in general, I think Florida is a place that's not meant to be inhabited by humans anyway.
Yeah, like, if you have teeth, do not live there.
Well, it's even beyond, like, the hillbilly nature of some of its residents. I the last time I was down there, the idea, you always hit between the alligators and the pythons, and now they're really coming into residential areas. People are losing their pets to these creatures. There was that video a couple weeks back of an alligator crawling up someone's front door trying to get into the home.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Even when I was down there, I stayed at my cousin's place down in Naples, and it was insane. Like, you see these, like, neon-looking birds that you see, like, nowhere else.
Huh.
And then I remember, as I was down there, a couple times I would see, I, I'd be looking out into the water and I'd be like, what kind of duck is that? And the head would come up and bob up and bob up and bob. And after seeing two or three of these things, I realized it was a snake that was like swimming through the water.
Nice.
It's just, it's
you're
not,
like, this is the jungle. This is why, you know, we should have just let Spain keep this.
Yes.
Horrible.
It is not meant for us. You just go down there and you just feel like it's just a mess. There is just something prehistoric about that whole place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, you know, and
Walt
why
Disney,
Disney World
psycho,
would be any
yeah, he was a psycho. He was like, you know, we can get super cheap land down here. I'm going to totally change and, you know, revolutionize this swamp that should never have had any people living here, let alone children, and let alone gay people, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, Orlando's had the worst week. Like, it started off with that chick from The Voice getting, like, assassinated by a crazy fan.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That didn't help the Second Amendment, you know, crowd much. And then the ISIS dude overnight, and then the alligator. Well, then there was a fire next to the water place there. And, like, I thought, so at night, I'm watching the news with my old lady, and they're like, oh, and frayed nerves in Orlando tonight. And I'm like, yeah, there was, like, a fire next to the water slide place. No big deal. And then we saw, like, oh, my God, Ed, they're looking for a two-year-old? What?
Yeah. I've never seen a city just get battered.
Worst week ever.
Oh, worst week ever by a mile.
And so this made you question whether or not there's even a God.
It did. It did.
That's understandable, man.
It's
that's
heavy.
Understandable. I want to know more about that next. Is there a God? Jones will tell us. It's Jones and Mike.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. So I've walked along the beach there collecting shells with my little two-year-old. I walked along that beach, that very same lagoon, collecting shells with my two-year-old. And that is probably the most relaxed you are down there. Like, it's really hellish. It's really hellish.
Yeah, but it looks... And that's what I've heard from parents. I've heard from parents that it's a nightmare, that it is hellish, that you're pretty much working the entire time that you're down there. But when I see the picture of this man-made lagoon, it just looks so peaceful.
Yeah.
And I've been to man-made lakes before. You would think that that would be the one place where you could just really let go and just trust. It's a man-made lake. Whatever has gone into it, you would think man has put in there.
And you would
think man would not put an alligator or anything or snakes that can swim in there. That's what you would think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's, you know, when I heard this story, that's where those were the things that went through my mind. Is my immediate reaction was, there's no God. There's no God because...
And that convinced you.
It did. Well, it did at the time when I saw the story, when I first heard the story, because I was like, look, at most horrible things that happen on this planet, it's down to humanoids being out of control. I can process that. When this happened to this family, there was just something where you kind of would say, okay, why, God, would this happen to a two-year-old? Why would you allow it to happen to a two-year-old in a place where any thinking man would think, well, this is man-made. There will only be good and safe things here. I'm going to relax and let my two-year-old splash around in the water.
Yeah, you would think that, like, Disney would have invented some sort of an electric... Like, because since you can't swim there, you thought that you would think they'd put up some sort of an electric fence underwater.
Something.
To keep the predators at bay. Because, I mean, you see wildlife while you're on, like, the tram going out to Epcot and stuff. Like, you see deer and all sorts of stuff.
You're right.
So, and you hear that.
You hear
that stuff.
And that's even that sound itself, and you don't know what it is. All the more reason that Florida is not meant for mankind. Yeah. The snakes, the alligators, the birds that look like prehistoric creatures, those noises were not meant to be down there. Now, it really bummed me out contemplating this story and thinking, okay, there can't be a God. Now, here's where I was able to turn it around a little bit. I do feel better in the last few days now that we have heard that there was a known alligator problem there and that Disney was aware and they didn't really do anything about it because they
allegedly, don't sue us, Disney. Not sue us.
Allegedly, there was a problem.
I'm
there was a
clearing
problem
up
there.
One of my lawsuits, Jones. Don't get me embroiled in another.
I won't even bring that up.
That's, thank you.
Yeah. So, but for me, like, knowing that they were allegedly aware of a problem and didn't do anything, I could put that in the humanoid box again. And then there was video earlier this week of a Disney employee, while there were tourists going along the little tram line, taking a stick and poking a caiman in the face.
Yeah, this is outside Splash Mountain.
Yes, trying to get it back into the water.
Yeah.
And people are going by and they're like throwing popcorn at the alligator. And I just thought, okay, now I'm able to process this a little bit better, that humanoids played a role. Because for me, if you could concretely prove to me that humanoids played no role in this, that's where I would go. Then there's no, because there's no reason, there's no lesson, there's no God is in control lesson that can justify a two-year-old being eaten by an alligator.
Yeah. That was like because the smallest even, little baby. Like you called it a caiman. I think they're technically calling it an alligator, but you're right. It was like a little baby thing. So it's like there's wildlife everywhere down there. And that's the thing. Like this event brought out the people who will criticize and shame, I guess is the current lame-o term. They shamed parents. Like, why weren't you watching your kids? And it's like, well, you're just like collecting shells in a foot of water at Disney World, man. Like you don't expect, you should though. You should expect the worst.
Yeah, but you
everywhere
know what?
You are.
You know what though? You just can't do that.
I'm not shaming them though. I'm not like a neck crowd.
I get it. I mean, anyone who could blame them or try to blame the parent whose kid got under that fence at that zoo in Cincinnati. A couple weeks ago, I was at an event at a church. And one of the little guys in the family, like 3-year-old, was running around and everyone was watching him. There's about 20 people that know this kid really well. And within a minute, the mother turns around and goes, "Where's Michael? Guys, where's Michael? Who's watching Michael?" And everybody was, No one knew. So you can imagine how far or where a 3-year-old can get if they haven't been monitored for a minute.
Oh,
and they
a minute?
Were surrounded
oh my God.
By 20 people.
Yeah.
So if it can happen with a group of 20 people that are at a family event, you can easily just lose track for a few seconds at a zoo or at a public park, and there could be disaster.
And it sounds like this dude was just because this
it sounded
kid was
like
two.
He was right there.
Yeah, like his like he was able to like jump in, wrestle the alligator. Like the worst Father's Day ever. This guy's having right.
Oh my God, I don't even know. You think how do he and his wife keep? How do you keep unless they have other children?
Well,
how do you keep a marriage together?
I was thinking like I want some news organization to put it in their Google calendar for the year 2020 or 2025 even, follow up on this family, see if they're still together. I mean, I'm pulling for them. I hope that the $50 million that Disney is probably, they're probably almost finished writing the check right now.
Yeah.
I hope that he takes that and he puts it into some quality therapy because he deserves it.
Yes.
He
oh
should
my
not
God.
Blame himself.
The absolute
But you know you'd
therapist.
Blame yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, what if I did this? What if I did that? Like, as that thing receded back into the water, right?
Yeah.
And he's gone, like, you know, he's flailing around. He can't go underwater and find it. He's probably, like, that panic of, oh, my God.
It's sickening.
I do want to know what went through his mind. Like, how do I tell this to the wife? Or, like, what goes through your mind? Does anything go through your mind?
How do you even speak? Like, how could you even get those words out? An alligator grabbed our son. I don't know where he is. Like, how could you even say those words?
It's crazy, dude. So, like, I've had, like, killer times. I've had very good times in gay bars.
I know you didn't.
Such good times in gay bars. One. I probably have been in others, but I remember one, Champaign Urbana, and had a really great time there. Little weirded out every now and then, but for the most part, totally, totally great time. Heteros totally invited. And so I've been in that environment, too. I've been in clubs and bars and stuff. For whatever reason, that dude coming in and, like, laying siege to the place for 3 hours, it, like, didn't bother me at all. And this baby did, though. Same town, same time frame. And it made me wonder, like, is there something about, like, am I homophobic or something? Like, what is it about that Then I started revisiting, like, I didn't really care about Aurora, Colorado, honestly.
No, or Bali. Upset were you about, well, those are human beings, no different.
I know. I start to think, well, that's a foreign country. You start to rationalize. Well, I don't feel bad about that because that's a foreign country. And Aurora, Colorado, okay, I've gone to movies, but I don't feel any need to, like, have solidarity with moviegoers right now. Like, it's just a place, a time, a bad thing happened, oh well.
I think here's the thing that I think makes this story, the alligator at the Disney World story, so hard to deal with and process, is there's very little, until we get to the backstory, going into the story, there's very little humanoid. There's very little humanoid involvement where you could blame somebody for not locking a gate or pulling out a gun or pulling out a knife on somebody. All the stories that we know about, someone setting off a bomb in a nightclub, you can just go crazy. Yeah. Humanoids. We are idiots. But when it's out of our humanoid control, I think that is when it's tough to digest. If this same situation happened, a father took his son and they wanted to go and do a little bit of fishing, and they went 500 yards past this designated do not fish here marker, and then they got devoured by an alligator. As sad as the story would be, you would go, that idiot father.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that you can't really blame anyone on this until now, maybe in retro fashion, we can start to look to blame either Disney or Disney employees.
Yes.
But until you got to that point, that's what makes it so hard to stomach.
Well, okay, so what makes this different than, you know, a tornado or something else, some other capricious act of nature that's, like, inexplicable?
Yeah, true. That is another example of God being in control. He could start a tornado, he could end a tornado.
Yeah.
There's just something that is more personal about this. We all know, we all live in a world where we are aware of mass earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, but there's just something that was overly personal about a child being killed by a wild animal at Disney World.
Yeah.
It just breaks that boundary. That it's strange to think of a tornado or a man-made event of a crazed shooter at a nightclub. You know, there's something about it being at Disney World and this being a wild animal that removing the humanoid factor is the difficult part. I think that's what personalizes it.
So I have a very important question for you, and yes, I want you to answer as, you know, honestly as possible. Do you believe that they will take advantage of their free 3-night stay at the Grand Floridian with no blackout dates applying?
They would not even think to roll that into a package, right? There's no way. They're just going to pay this family out.
Yeah, here's $50 million. Here's a lifetime, you know, car to use at any Disney store.
There can't be.
Here are some alligator shoes a la Michael Douglas and Romancing the Stone.
Now you're having fun with it.
No, I am having fun with it. But I kind of want to know where in the vacation they were, because there are parts of the Disney vacation experience that are enjoyable. Going to Epcot, visiting the worlds, having dinner in, like, Japan or something, drinking beer in Germany. I hope that he was able to enjoy that stuff before all this other bad stuff happened. Hopefully this wasn't day one when you get off the plane, you're all tired, you go to the hotel, you check in, you go to Disney, you spend 9 hours there, it's hellish.
Okay.
Then you go back to the lagoon, and then this happens.
Okay, you're a father.
Yeah, allegedly.
Let's say it is day one.
Oh.
What's the over-under that he did enjoy that vacation?
Yeah. No, zero. It's the worst. That's the first day of your life.
Yes. Yeah, he has a whole new life now.
Now, if it was day four, he was, they were getting ready to go anyway. No. It really is one of those stories that really kind of grabbed me by the nads. Speaking of which,
ooh.
I know that you have been doing a deep dive, as they like to say, in corporate America these days. You've been doing a deep dive on nads. And so, which is great because your nephew, my son, Dominic, got his first cup this week.
Did he?
Yeah, baseball season is in full swing. And so, coach pitch baseball, it was time to finally protect the boys. And so for game two, he sported his cup.
Nice. Now, did he know how to put it on?
I didn't show him. He told me after the game, I wore my cup. And I'm like, all right, dude.
Hey, that's one step ahead of Uncle Brian. The first time I was given a cup, I thought it was for my knee.
Yeah, nice. It sounds like you, man. Who taught you? Not your dad, apparently.
No, I took it out of their hands. I was like, oh, I know what to do with this. And I started to try to put it on my knee.
All right, the master of NADS next, Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Yeah, it's a big day in a man's life when he can look at his son and go like, wow, you're protecting your nuts. You are wearing a cup. You are becoming, you're kind of shedding the boyness and becoming a larger boy, a bigger boy or whatever. Like, you're growing before my eyes. This is an important step developmentally for both of us.
That is a pretty big step.
And now I have not seen said NADS, I'm happy to say. Not even in passing. I have no idea, but allegedly he has nuts. They must be protected. His mom bought him a cup. He wore it for the first time.
You've never seen your son's testicles?
Well, I mean, surely during a diaper change years ago, but not now.
Not in years.
No, not now.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
So like everything's totally like pretty normal in our house, but like I was like, oh, you got a cup. This is a big day. And so you informing me that you've been doing a deep dive on NADS, I think the timing couldn't be more perfect because, frankly, boys' nuts have been on my mind.
Yes, and with good reason. Now, the reason that NADS have been on my mind, did you hear about Juan Uribe this week?
No, Major League Baseball player. That's all I know.
Major League Baseball player, former Chicago White Sox.
Ah, that's
right. On the World Series 2005.
Yeah, all right. Cleveland.
World Series champs. And then I believe he was also...
On 2005?
2005, when the Sox won the
Oh, he was on the... Oh, I forgot about it already.
He also won another World Series. I want to say he was on the 2010 San Francisco Giants. He's on the Indians now.
Okay.
And this week...
Wasn't he on the Indians years ago?
I'm sure he's one of these guys that's bounced around.
Okay.
He probably plays in the team for 1 or 2 years and keeps moving on.
Okay.
But did you see the story this week where, unlike Dom, he was not wearing his cup.
Uh-oh. No, I didn't see that.
And he took an errant hop into the nads.
Oh.
Now.
Did he, like, cough up blood and stuff?
It dropped him. It dropped him like a heavyweight fighter. And he was just, like, sitting there, like, kind of choking and coughing.
Oh.
Just on the dirt.
Oh, man.
And he was asked. Now, Dom was given a cup. He knew to put it on right away. Went through his game. Proud to tell his dad.
Yeah.
You would think, why wouldn't a professional ball
player? It may have been in his back pocket, though, for all I know. I didn't do the cup check thing.
All right, well, that's the next step.
I didn't do Mitch cup check to him.
That's the next step. You got to give him the friendly tap.
Yeah.
So, when you were in Little League, did you ever have a coach go around and give you the tap?
You know what? You would think something like that would mentally scar you to the point where you would never forget it, but maybe it scarred me to the point where I blocked it out.
See, we would have coaches, they wouldn't use their hand, but they would take the end of the bat. Like the handle, not the fat part, but like the little handle, just like.
And did anybody ever like, oh, wait.
I don't remember that. I always had my cup. Once I figured out that it didn't go over your knee, it wasn't meant to cover your knee, then I always had my cup. It wasn't a problem. I actually once played a hockey game without a cup.
You must have been scared. You were playing
scared, dude. It was the worst because you couldn't even enjoy the game at all.
Yeah.
At all.
It's like, just that's why rubbers are so ingenious, man. Like You absolutely feel better when you've got one on.
Yeah, I probably would have felt better even if I just had a rubber on.
That's right, yeah, just any
hockey.
Protection.
But so Juan Uribe goes out there, plays ball, takes an errant hop into the family jewels, and you think, why wouldn't a professional ball player be wearing a cup?
Yeah.
Well, he went to the media afterwards and explained why he didn't have a cup.
Well, the reason is...
Did he sound like that?
No. A little bassier.
Oh, okay.
And with that kind of
Latin
vibe.
Yeah, he's not soprano. My old man would always be like, hey, you better watch out. You'll be singing soprano.
Right. He claims that the trainers of the Cleveland Indians don't have a cup that fits him.
Like his man package is so plentiful.
Yes. Now, would you even, if a guy laid claim to that, would you even believe him?
That's awesome.
Would you even believe him, though?
That's the only thing you can say.
Would you even believe him, though, if he said that?
Any guy. No, I almost would want to seek some proof. Like, can we get the trainer to confirm this?
Here's the funny thing when this story broke.
Yeah.
I saw this story, and that was what was being questioned immediately. And for years...
Oh, no.
I have known that of Juan Uribe's enormity.
What?
This was so funny to see this play out in the sporting headlines this week, because as I was reading the story, I'm thinking to myself, this is so weird, because I play hockey with a guy who knows a guy who's seen Juan Uribe's penis. And I've known it for years, but it never comes up to say... You never hear anyone say something like, oh, blah, 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 and we should trade for Juan Uribe. And then I could cut in and go, you know, I skate with a dude who knows a dude who's seen his penis.
Oh, my God. Yeah, how do you work that into conversation? That's ridiculous.
Insane.
What?
So, yes. So I've known about this man's genitalia for years.
All right. Well, so what does this guy say?
Well, he was... Now, this is secondhand. As I said, I play hockey with a guy who knows a guy who's seen Juan Uribe's penis.
Yeah.
Apparently, this was a guy who went to spring training with the White Sox. And Uribe would go running around the locker room, stretching in front of rookies and new ball players naked.
Yeah. It's always
kind
those
of taunting
dudes.
Them.
Yeah.
Or his other trick, and this is still hard to believe, was he would walk up to people while they were talking to somebody else and drape it over their shoulder.
No, come on.
I'm telling you.
Come on.
That's what this guy said.
Oh, you mean they were sitting down, he would stand over them?
Yes.
Okay, I'm imagining like he's got like a 6-foot
like he was Dexter
penis.
Longstocking or whatever, isn't it? The Eddie Murphy character?
No. All right, so he would like let it dangle over your collarbone.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's disconcerting.
Now, but of all the stupid things you talk, and I've been obsessed with this week, the stupid things that people do and don't do with their genitalia. Wouldn't you think that then you go out and you've made millions of dollars? I looked it up. He's made over $50 million in his career.
That's not fair.
You couldn't find anyone that could come up with a custom-made device that would protect all of that?
Yeah, you think they'd make like a hard shell sheath that would kind of strap to your leg And then that, you know,
whatever you need
would fit inside of it. Yeah. Or like, yeah, like a, like augment a mag light, strap a mag light.
But you think.
Take the batteries out and just drop it in.
Yes. Yes. Something.
Yeah, Juan's a little slower on the base pads this year. What's going on? Oh, he's got a mag light in his pants.
But you would think, you know, and that you would make that effort. You have the money personally to do it. Why would you surrender yourself? Well, the trainer can't do anything for me.
Especially if you had an anaconda like that,
so I can't
like that,
do
dude.
It for myself.
Wouldn't you really want to protect that thing? Like, outside of your $15 million?
50. 50. 50, 50
sorry. Fine. Outside of your dough, like, that is really your ticket in life.
That, yeah. The money, the talent. Well, the talent got you the money, so then the next thing after the money, you got to imagine, would be the rest of what you have to offer.
Okay, so for years, you knew, or you had heard it once, or was it brought up repeatedly, like, yeah, you're no one, you're eBay.
Within this circle, yes. I mean, not all the time, but I'd heard about Juan Uribe's penis on multiple occasions.
I knew a dude once, like, he always called his genitalia the baby leg. And so, and I always was like, yeah, whatever. And then one time, you know, when one of his buddies, one of our mutual friends, was like, no, we were peeing at a fence at a concert once. I looked over, I couldn't believe it. That thing is the size of a baby leg. There's no question. So I was just like, what? And sure enough, we're at a bachelor party once, and like he lets this hooker start pleasuring him right in the middle. And that's what you do when you have a baby leg. You don't care where you are. There's no shame. And I saw it. I'm like, that thing is the size of a baby's leg.
You know, though, that's interesting that, you know, you just said, hey, if you were that gifted,
yeah,
that you would just go anywhere with it and
I think
just
so.
Be.
Yeah.
Because now when I, for example, when I'm changing at jiu-jitsu, everybody kind of drops down to the underwear and then puts all their stuff back on. And
it's
I've kind of thought, why?
That's so gay what you just said. Go on.
Maybe it is how I worded it, but I don't think it is in how I execute it. But I just kind of have thought to myself, man, if you were really gifted, wouldn't you feel a little uncomfortable being... Wouldn't it almost seem vulgar?
Oh, really? No.
I don't know.
No, remember the dude that we knew in high school that was known for having... I call him the grandfather clock.
I see. I was never a part of that. I had always heard that from...
Yeah.
Second... I was never on the inside of that.
Yeah, and so we'd always have to get into, like... Yeah, we'd always have to get into, after gym class, get into the showers. And he was always the last guy. And he was the last guy because he would put his towel... We all would, like, put our towels around our waist and scurry in and get wet super fast and just never take the towel off. Because we were hung like gnats. And then he would come over with his towel around his shoulder... With the grandfather clock clanging off of the,
really?
You know, the bells off of his knees.
Maybe that's just me being
and everyone and he
thinking.
Because he was last, everyone was watching him and he loved it.
See, now, that's
gay. Speaking of things that make me gay, that's gay.
You know, I guess maybe I'm just being naive.
But it
maybe
made
I'm
me
just being naive
him.
To think that that is something I'd be like, if I was Juan Uribe like.
Yeah, I think I might
back off the gas.
Yeah, I think you got to back off the gas, and here's why. Because then when my wife would be like, you know, I like, he's funny, I would get kind of like, yeah, what, why? Oh, you, because he's funny you like him?
Yeah.
Or maybe because you've heard he has a giant weenus. So I think you might want to keep that to yourself.
Yeah,
because then
I don't
dudes
know.
Wouldn't want you around.
That's my instinct, but maybe I'm just naive on that. Maybe I'm just naive. But that's not the only story.
No, thank God.
That involves genitalia. The next story.
Yeah.
I love.
It's going to blow my mind, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I can't wait because I know we did a little pre-show fist fight. I asked you about what I'm about to tell you. You know nothing about it. So I can't wait until we get into this.
Yeah. I live in
This is beautiful.
I live in a fantasy land. I don't know anything about the weird stuff that you partake in. Knowing about Juan Uribe's weenus and...
Oh, there's more. There's more genitalia talk on its way.
Jones and Mike.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit ChicagoPodShow.com or call 312-725-8017. ChicagoPodShow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at JonesandMike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike, I'm pretty sure that chicks don't like dudes that are packing too much heat. I've convinced myself of that over the years, Jones.
Okay. Why do you feel the need? I mean, you've been married for, yes. Let me do the math on this. Yeah. Let me do it.
All right.
17 years?
Going on 17.
Okay. So...
Well, clearly you have times when you question, like, well, would she like a few more? But I don't think that would be the case. First of all, even if I could, I'm glad I don't, because I don't have that. I don't have that problem. Like, Juan's got a problem. It's like a deformity that he's got to deal with. That can't be comfortable.
No, I can't imagine that it is.
So, like, you know, it sounds like he's, like, in the, like, the 11 to 13 range, like,
even,
flaccid
no.
or something, right?
I don't even know.
No, let's continue. Let's get deeper on it. You've thought about it.
No, I haven't,
Well, no,
actually.
Wait a second. Here's the thing. When you're in a locker room with a bunch of dudes and they describe it, and then you're like, well, don't you hold out your hands and go, like, well, how big is it? Don't you feel like, and then you make them show
guys?
You? Yeah.
No, it doesn't really come up like that. I don't have that type of, I don't have that level of curiosity. I don't care about genitalia so much as the stories that surround genitalia. That's what I'm interested in. The genitalia itself, I don't care. Doesn't
All
make
right.
a difference
That's
to
weird,
me.
Dude.
But it's the stories of genitalia.
All right, okay.
That really...
All right, I would have to know. I would have to, like, is it as big as my foot?
No, I don't really have any curiosity.
All right, so the stories you are way too into, honestly.
Well, and for someone who would be into those stories, this was a banner week.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
The European Championships in football have been going on for the last few weeks. Have you been watching them?
I've just been watching Copa America, and even that very sparsely.
Got it. Wonderful.
Why do they got to schedule them at the same time?
Well, they typically don't. They're just doing the 100th anniversary of the Copa America, so that's why they put it in the United States. This is the first time we've had it. The next time they have it will be 2019, and then it will stay. It typically is off years on the European Championships.
Okay.
They just did it for 100th anniversary,
ah.
If you would really like to know.
Thank you.
So... I'm going to have you play a video, and I want you to give me the play-by-play and your honest reaction
okay.
to this video. Now, I've been following the European Championships. Mainly, if I'm at work, I'm listening to the games, but I'm catching games and highlights here and there. I'm staying pretty close to it. I know what's going on. And right now, I would say the best team of the tournament is Germany, the reigning World Cup champs.
Boo.
Now they're going for a European Championship. And they're run by a man named Joachim Löw.
Okay.
Now, Joachim was a part of he was the head coach of the team that won the World Cup. Now he's going for a European Championship. Only two men previously have won for the same country a World Cup and a European Championship.
So he's revered and beloved.
He's chasing something. He's chasing something big. This is about a legacy. Now,
and everybody in Germany knows him. He's a huge.
Oh yes,
he's
absolutely.
Like,
he's a huge personality there.
Who would he be? Like, is he the of
it's
America?
It's hard to say because we don't really have, you know, we're into our own more than we are really into, more than we are into it. I guess like kind of like what a Bill Belichick would be over here. Not necessarily in terms of personality, but in terms of everyone. Even if you hate Bill Belichick, you respect that he
yes.
figures out a way to win games and win championships.
Understood.
So I'm at work, and given my nature, the nature of my work, I keep Facebook open all day. No, I have to.
Given
have
my
to.
Light workload.
No, I have
low
to.
Low expectations.
I have to, because when we're looking up candidates, and if I'm trying to describe to a coworker, like, oh, so-and-so would be perfect for this opportunity, and then they're like, I don't remember them. I don't want to go on LinkedIn and bring up their profile, because that comes up on LinkedIn. They can see, oh, so-and-so's looking for
me. Oh, you don't have
the
premium account where you can be anonymous?
We have a recruiter account. Then there's another level. So we do. I do have a paid account, but whatever maybe the next level is,
right.
I don't have that. But plus, you also, the way, well, let's not get into that.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Well, no, but that could be useful information to somebody.
Well, we'll deal with it later.
Fine. You're on your own, job seekers.
Exactly. So we use, a lot of times we use Facebook. So I have Facebook open, and I see on a new story pops up. My cousin posted this video, and it was fuzzy. You could tell that the video was taken off of a TV screen. I don't even know why I clicked it. Maybe there was something about the headline that made me want to click it. But I clicked it. I looked at the video, could not believe what I had seen, and then called a coworker over and said, look, just look at this video. Is this real, or is this a manipulated video? Because I know it's coming off a TV screen, but could it be a fuzzy image and it's been manipulated?
Ever since Loch Ness, I don't believe anything.
No,
I
you
see.
Know what, though? We are quickly getting to a place in our world where before hearing it or seeing it on TV was enough. But now with the way people are able to manipulate things,
yeah.
we're now reverting back to a time where unless you see it with your own eyes,
yeah.
you don't really know it.
Like, did you see the video I shared on Jones and Mike's Facebook page of the chick, the hot chick, like throwing footballs?
Yes. Yes.
And do you believe that that was real?
Not because it's weird the way she
throws
stepped
it
through
like
the ball.
Odd
yes.
From her body and
so
stuff.
I don't, but I kind of didn't believe it.
Yeah, she had big jugs, so I thought, oh, what's the worst? It's probably a win sitting through this video no matter what.
Fair enough. I didn't stop you from posting that video.
Thank you.
So. But I play this video for a coworker, and she was like, no, I think that's real. That's oh my God. I think that's definitely
I love how you show
real.
It to a woman. All
no.
right.
So I'm going to have you play the video.
Okay.
Now you tell me if you, not if it's real, because
okay.
that's not an issue and I can get into that.
Yeah.
But I want your honest play-by-play
okay.
and reaction to this video.
Okay.
This is Joachim Löw.
Yes.
In the middle of a hotly contested soccer match at the 2016 European Championships.
I've never seen him before. He looks like a built man standing before a bench. And he's reaching into his pants. And he is sitting down now, and he just put his hand up to his mouth and his nose. He just smelled his nutsack.
Watch!
What? Okay, now he's smelling his hand again. Okay, now he puts it behind him. Now he's putting it behind himself, down his butt crack. He's watching the game.
What?
Left to right. He just pulled something like out.
Watch.
And he's like watching the game intently, putting his hands together.
Here we go.
Like he just put his finger up. Now he's looking at his hand like, is there poo on there?
It.
Oh, man, I'm going to vomit. I'm going to...
Okay, reload the video again in case... Now, you hear the crowd. You hear the crowd in the background. That there was... someone's filming this game, and you can hear like, oh, no. He is in. He is surrounded. Again, these two segments are the stupid things and the reckless things and choices people make with their genitalia.
Oh, my God.
He is on the sidelines of a world event.
Yeah, where he's got to know that he is being watched, certainly by everyone in attendance from time to time.
Now, when I first saw the video, when I first saw the video, I thought to myself, that's not real. Called a coworker over and they felt it was real. He later held a press conference to acknowledge what he had done and apologize for it.
You're joking.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's the video I want to see.
Yes, yes. Well, it's all in German, but I mean, you can easily find it.
I want to see that transcript.
Oh, yes. No, it is hilarious.
For those of you who may have been offended by me smelling my butt crack on TV...
Well, here's the...
that's so gross, dude.
But there's
Would you have been happier if he picked his nose and ate it?
Well, see, now that I've been looking, so I started to like look into this guy to see what people have really thought about him. And people have cobbled together these videos of strange things that he does at games. He has rubbed his hands under his armpit to smell it. And he has also vigorously picked his nose.
Oh my God, this guy's a psycho.
Yes, it is psychotic what he's doing. Now, here's the thing. When I saw him reach down and scratch himself or reach for his genitalia.
He goes right down the front.
Right for it.
Yeah.
He knows where he's going.
And that's fine. You got an itch or whatever.
Yes.
And so he's down there for about 5 seconds.
Right.
And then he sits down. Like, all right, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to casually sniff my hand.
I know. And like,
he's methodical.
Sniffing.
He's plotting.
It's the sniffing that's the weird part. I could almost see.
Oh,
you're watching it again.
He brings it up to his nose.
And he savors it a little.
He does. Yeah.
He savors it.
Oh, nuts.
Can you imagine?
I love the smell of my nuts.
Can you imagine you are in the middle of a world, a global event. A global event.
Oh, man.
Now,
although, honestly, I take that back. So a second ago, I was like, everyone in attendance is watching him. Nobody's watching him in attendance.
No, but you
and
know.
And it's a giant field. What is it? 120 yards long?
Like 80 wide, yeah.
And so, like, you're watching the action on the field. Every now and then they show the coach.
I know.
The manager, the gaffer.
But you would know. Like, if you've ever had an... I'm not blaming this guy for scratching where he scratched. I think deep down, everyone in their most deepest, darkest, quietest place would admit they probably scratched everywhere on their body.
Yeah, have you ever cupped your butt
that,
and smelled it?
No. No, I haven't. But...
Baloney, you have too!
No.
Yes, you have.
No, if I have, I don't recall it. But regardless, you know, like, I'm in my own place. I'm in my own shower. I'm in my own apartment or home.
Oh, I know. People do the nasty stuff.
You have to be acutely aware that I'm surrounded by 70,000 people, 80,000 people, millions at home. I can't risk someone not watching, not having a camera on me at this game. I mean, how many times does something happen in the game and they cut to the coach's reaction? So that tells me that this guy has this, his body, his brain and his body, they have this uncontrollable desire to always be monitoring these smells.
He's like a social
it's
sociopath.
There's some.
He cannot stop. You know, he does this in restaurants.
Oh,
dude.
He must.
He probably does this in the middle of business meetings.
Well, you hear about people who can't stop themselves from like licking things. That has to be because when he reaches down in front and then he reaches down in the posterior, he digs in, he savors those smells. And I think his body is, I bet you he doesn't even realize he's doing it. Because, okay, I'll be honest with you. I have had a female coworker inform me that, you know, you really like scratch yourself all day.
Like inside your pants?
No. No, but adjusting.
Adjusting.
So I get
right.
it. Okay. I get it. I can't really throw a stone on that one. And I think guys poke and prod and adjust all day. But the smelling is weird. The savoring is weird. And it's his body.
And then he looks at his fingernails like, I didn't get any crap on me.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Well,
man.
I wonder if there's like this neurological thing that's going on in high pressure situations. It's an escape for him. There's a lot at stake. If he wins this tournament, he is truly a legend. So is there something where the stakes get so high and the tension is building so much?
Like Jerry Tarkanian, the
just,
UNLV basketball coach?
Sucking on the towel, chewing on the towel.
This is his Jerry Tarkanian moment?
Yeah, he escapes. He needs... and it takes him to another place.
I got to tell you, man, I could almost get on board with the smell in your nuts. But the smell in
your butt,
I can't get on board with.
And then looking under your nails after you did it.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to put your fingers on your butthole, man. So I love, sometimes I hate them, but this time around I love the YouTube comments. Because there's some good ones. Did you read the comments section?
Some of them.
There's some good ones. Unfortunately, most of them are in German, but Magnus Wierod wants you to know, clear handball, referee should have booked him. Which is one of the few ones in English, dude. This one was a pretty good one, dude. Jeremy Given asks, who wants to smell my nutsack? Any takers? what? I don't understand. I don't understand.
But here's the other thing, too. At the end of the game, coaches shake hands. You know there's no bathroom before. Yeah. So he unwashed scratches his bare genitalia.
DeLorean,
and goes and shakes a hand.
DeLorean Beta says, this is the type of guy you see in the singles dating site and say, wow, he's well off, stylish, good looking, famous. Why has he not been snatched up sooner? Now you know. Because when he's on that blind date, dude, he's smelling his butt right in front of
him. I did think when I saw that video and was thinking more and more about, I was thinking obsessively about this video. And I was thinking, man, he has so much going for him. If he wins this tournament, so much je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
But now, whatever woman he will connect with, she has to go and explain this behavior. What woman's going to want to be a part of that?
Oh, man. Really, really disgusting, dude. And you're really... I appreciate you kind of coming clean on some of the things you do behind closed doors. Because I know it gets weird over there at Club 21 West.
It does, but not as weird as old Johan.